Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we welcome to Basic Gospel our friend Larry Alex Taunton. We'll hear from Larry shortly, but first let me remind you that our phone lines are always open for you at 844-322-2742. We probably have a lot to talk with Larry about, so we probably won't be taking live phone calls today, but you can leave a voicemail with your questions or your concerns anytime at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. So with that, it's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. I wanted to get Larry on the program today. I think he's got a unique perspective. He's spent some time in Europe and Northern Africa over the last 4 or 5 weeks. He didn't know if he was going to be able to get back, but was able to get back Monday. And so he has seen what is going on in Europe. And I wanted him to come on today to talk to our listeners about how other places in the world are handling this this pandemic and what we can expect here in the United States. He also offers a very helpful perspective as far as Christians are concerned. I mean, we as believers in Christ, we don't have to give in to the panic and anxiety that's out there in the world. We have Christ with us, and that is our hope. He is our hope. And so we can respond to this with great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and with confidence, knowing that he is going to walk us through this situation. So, Larry, welcome to Basic Gospel. We're so glad you're back in the United States, and we're glad you're with us today.
Yes, indeed.
I am delighted to be with you fellows, and I'm glad to be back in the good old U.S. of A.
I bet you are. So tell us a little bit of what you saw and witnessed when you were in Europe. I think your last day there was in Spain, and you were quarantined, and you saw kind of how they were handling that. What did you see? How were they handling the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I was, as you've noted, Bob, I was in North Africa. I was in Great Britain. I was in Portugal and France and Spain from the beginning of the pandemic until Monday. So it was like I was on a coronavirus tour of Europe. And it started there much the way you're seeing it now in the United States, meaning there was a mix of fear and some skepticism, a mix of some local governments really clamping down and others who weren't. But then it very rapidly became a scenario where they were clamping down hugely, so that in cities, especially, say, Madrid, and then now in Barcelona, Paris, Marseille, you know, Toulouse, other parts throughout Italy, obviously. You know, the death toll in Spain now is very high, and it became a kind of thing where you would see a soft, you know, kind of recommendation, you know, that they would like for you to stay home and, you know, no meetings more than, let's say, 25 or something like that. But then the police became quite belligerent, and the military began moving in, and if you were outside of your home for any reason, or your hotel, for any reason that wasn't approved, and in some cases, even if it was approved, the police were going to give you a very hard time. I had a very unpleasant run-in with the police. I was, you know, kind of a comedy, honestly, but, you know, the hotels were expelling everyone as of this past Saturday, March 21st. So everyone who was in a hotel on Friday is scrambling to try to find a place to go. And it was very hard to find flights back to the United States or even within the European Union. So I was out, you know, I'd gone on, what do you call it, the bed and breakfast type thing. I've forgotten the website, you know, Airbnb.
Right, right.
And I had gone on there to see places that were available. It was hard to find them. And finally, somebody said they had one I could come and take a look at. And when I was coming back, you know, the police gave me a very hard time, you know, regarding it. And anyway, but this is what's going on there, and I believe that's coming here. Now, much of the United States is, of course, it's vast, you know, relative to, you know, France is the largest country in Western Europe, and Texas is considerably larger than France. But, you know, the United States, so much of the United States is rural, and it would be very hard. You know, as we were saying before the show, I'm talking to you right now from Duck River Ranch, which is 43 acres. You know, it makes no sense to say that I have to stay in my house. But I do understand the quarantines, the strict quarantines in places, you know, where you're talking high density populations like Manhattan and Chicago and Los Angeles and other places.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, things are clamping down in the major cities across the United States. We're under a shelter-at-home order here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And it really gets to, you know, the solution to the spread of the virus. The solution is really on our shoulders as individuals. Right now, there's not a drug that doctors can give that will cure this as far as their patients are concerned. So they just have to try to, you know, to help move a patient through kind of how the virus handles itself in a person's life. So as far as the spread of it is concerned, that's on our shoulders. It's up to us. That's the only solution, isn't it? And so that gets down to kind of whether individuals are going to heed the warning and say, hey, I am choosing personally to follow the recommendations and to isolate, to socially distance, to stay at home. And that really gets down to virtue, doesn't it? We as human beings having the freedom to make those choices. And that's what the United States of America is really built upon, the virtue of its citizens. And we've seen that virtue kind of decline over the past number of years. And maybe this is a chance for people to take a fresh look inside and say, you know, what's really on the inside of me? And why can't I choose to do something that's going to be beneficial for me and beneficial for the country at large?
Well, we would certainly, I think all of us, the three of us, would advise people to listen to medical authorities, to governmental authorities, who are really in very difficult situations here. Because President Trump, I would urge people to pray for Trump. I for one, have been very pleased with his leadership in this. You're seeing people who are saying that he needs to be taking all of his leads from the World Health Organization and from his medical advisors. I don't agree. Trump, as a president, any world leader, has to take into consideration issues that go well beyond the scope of their expertise. And at some point, it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when, he will have to say it's time for Americans to go back to work. And there will be casualties, if I may put it that way, as a result of that. But we're talking about our way of life that is ultimately on the line here as Americans are at home and as our economy comes to a grinding halt. So it really is a no-win situation for those people who are making the decisions here. And hence the reason they really need our prayer.
Yes, indeed. Well, and so that is one big encouragement from this radio broadcast today to our listeners, is to certainly pray for our leaders, pray for Trump, pray for those in Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives, pray for local judges. I mean, it fell upon the shoulders of a local judge, for example, in Denton County, to come out and issue a decree saying this is what's going to happen. And I know the decisions that they're making are a tough decision because there are so many factors that are a part of this. There's so many pieces, moving pieces to this this thing that we call life. So these definitely are tough decisions that our leaders are making. So we need to certainly be in prayer for them, grateful that they are in those positions. It's easy for us to step back and to unleash criticism, and we're certainly seeing a lot of that on both sides these days. Yeah. Just all kinds of criticism, and it's not helpful at all, is it?
No, it isn't, and you're certainly seeing a lot of that on social media. You're seeing a lot of things that that the president says being twisted in media and represented as something completely opposite of what he is saying or what he is encouraging. I've been pleased with the leadership that he's provided in this crisis. I think that it will take someone with his kind of defiant spirit, if I may put it that way, who is absolutely willing to go against the wave of pressure that comes with the hysteria in all of this. And there has been hysteria. There are those who are absolutely whipping hysteria. And I saw that in Europe. Where, you know, whether or not, gentlemen, we are facing a virus that is a much more contagious virus that is comparable, let's say, to the flu, or whether or not we are facing, you know, global extinction, hysteria doesn't help at all. No. It just simply doesn't help at all. And in the sense I get is that Trump is listening to his advisors very closely while also trying to get a real sense of what it is that we're dealing with and very, very aggressively seeking solutions to this. I mean, Oxford University just a couple of days ago came out with a study in which they're pushing back against the Imperial College, which the Imperial College in London is the has been providing the data that most governments have been following. And Oxford has come along and said, we think that you're quite wrong, that the mortality rate is well below 1%. And that's because, I don't know if you saw this, but the Financial Times 2 days ago printed the Oxford study where they believe that as much as half of the population in the United Kingdom already has the coronavirus.
Wow.
Meaning it's both good and bad news, meaning that the virus clearly is extremely contagious and spreads very rapidly. But it also means that the mortality rate has been grossly overestimated.
Yeah, that's the thing about this whole deal. You know, we see numbers all the time, and these numbers are changing every day. And who's gathering all of this information? How does it get centralized into one location? I mean, this is affecting 198 countries, so we understand, and we see these numbers escalating and. You know, where do these numbers come from, and how do we know? And that's where we just have to realize there is a problem, that God is in control, and we're going to have to trust him.
Absolutely. Well, our special guest today, Larry Alex Taunton, joining Bob Christopher and me. We're glad you're with us, friends. If you have a question, of course, anytime you can call 844-322-2742. We're not taking live phone calls today, but you can certainly leave a voicemail for us. We'd love to address your question or your concern in that particular manner. Again, 844-322-2742. Call anytime and leave that voicemail message. And as we have been emphasizing this month, knowing Jesus, of course, is the most important experience we'll ever have in this life. Many of us know about him, but our five-message series, The Jesus You Can Know, will help you know him in a closely personal way. There's no substitute for knowing Jesus and for him knowing you. With that in mind, we want to send you a copy of this insightful series, The Jesus You Can Know, as our way of saying thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel in the month of March. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and be sure to request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. That's basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. I also want to mention we've uploaded a brand new video to our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. We take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, how God disciplines us. Many times we think our circumstances in life or God is God punishing us for a particular sin. Many people have tried to say that's what God is doing with this current coronavirus, that this is God's punishment upon the world. And if you read the Bible, you know that's not true. You know that Christ bore our sins in his body, that he took the punishment for sin in and of himself. And so we know God disciplines us. So this is what this video is all about. I think if you go to our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube, you're going to find this very encouraging, very helpful, and will give you a brand new perspective on being disciplined by God. And you will even welcome that and want it as a part of your life, because it's going to bring a harvest of peace and righteousness to you. And certainly right now we could use a harvest of peace in this world. Well, Larry, again, Larry Alex Taunton is our special guest. Larry, you just wrote an article, really a fabulous article for any of our listeners that would like to read it. It is available at your website, LarryAlexTaunton.com. But one of the things that you said in there, and it's something that I tweeted out yesterday, and it's this statement: if our faith in Jesus Christ is to be of any use to us on this earth, it should transform our view of death and eternity. And I just thought that was a brilliant statement. And it's this that anchors our lives here and now and enables us to respond to a crisis instead of with fear and panic, with a sense of trust and confidence that the Lord is going to take care of us through it. So comment on this statement that you made, the fact that our faith in Jesus Christ actually does transform our view of death and eternity.
Well, Bob, something that I think has been very interesting in this whole, crisis has been that, generally speaking, and I stress that generally speaking, the line, the divide between those people who are hysterical about this and those people who are not, has generally fallen along ideological lines. It is my friends on the left. It is in the Democratic Party. It is among those friends of mine who are very frequently aggressive unbelievers, who are expressing the most fear in all of this. And I find that very interesting, because I think we're starting to see worldview coming out in all of this. A little pressure is starting to reveal some of the fissures, some of the cracks in the foundations of some people's ideological lives, their spiritual lives, if I may put it that way. And the reason I think is this, and again, I'm just offering you what I think is what is a theory here. But I'm not even speaking of those who are trying to whip hysteria in order to maximize their opportunities. Rather, I mean people are expressing real fear in media and on social media. And I think the difference is that, as a Christian, for instance, I don't believe this life is all that I get. I'm already, I'm reconciled to the fact that I will die. I'm reconciled to the fact that I can expect no better than what my master got, what Jesus got. I'm reconciled to the fact that one day he will resurrect me, that there will be a judgment, that he has prepared a place for me and for those who know him. I look forward to that. We've discussed that actually on this program before. But if I'm an unbeliever who has really given very little thought to the questions of my mortality, I'm probably in a great deal of fear, because I believe that, you know, the whatever it is, the average lifespan of someone in this country, that it's pretty well all I get. And if I lose my life, you know, now, I there's nothing beyond this life. It's just, you know, it's just all there is. It's it. And I think we're starting to see that come out in a very, very big way.
I agree with that, Larry. And that brings us to the last point that we can really cover on the broadcast today, is this. And as far as believers are concerned, this is not a time for us to shrink back into, you know, creep into the fabric of society. This really is an opportunity for us to stand up, to stand out, to be a voice of hope in the world today, because so many people in their hysteria, in their fear, in their anxiety, they really are looking for answers. They are looking for something that can ground them, that can anchor them, that can be a foundation in their lives that is unshakable, unmovable. And there's only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ himself. So this is really an opportunity for us to be a voice of truth out there in this crazy world of confusion. And so how are you encouraging believers along that line?
Well, I want to encourage believers. This perhaps sounds very dark in order to put it this way, but I want believers, first of all, the fear of coronavirus is ultimately the fear of death, right?
So correct.
I think we need to reconcile ourselves to the fact that we all are going to die. Death is coming for us. It's just simply a matter of time. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in the God of the Bible, how reassuring is it? How awesome is it to put your life into the hands of a loving, merciful, gracious, all-powerful God, and say, look, Lord, whether you take my life now or later, I'm just leaving the timing and the manner of my death to you. It's my life is in your hands. I cannot add an hour or a day to it. You have set the boundaries of my life. And I trust in that. And that's very liberating for me. And I say this, by the way, as someone, just so people, listeners out there, don't think I'm being very flippant about this. I have suffered hugely in my own life physically. I was declared dead and revived from an awful accident. I've had to face my mortality. I go to parts of the world that are extremely dangerous, but I do so in the full confidence in my God. Now, that said, I will admit that there is a little contradiction in my faith, in that I fear for the lives of those that I love. Not my own life, but I do fear for the lives of those that I love. And that's the sort of thing, too, where I'm working on just leaving that in the Lord's hand and saying, Lord, just as I trust you with my life, I trust you with their lives. And I think that's the way we as Christians need to live our lives. It's the only way you're going to be free from fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that comes from knowing this gospel message. I mean, you and I, Larry, and every believer, we've already died in Christ. We've already been raised, made alive in Jesus. And so death of the body does not truncate that. We're just going to live forever in him. And that's the good news. And that's the good news that we get to share. Larry, thank you so much for being with us, as always.
As always. Thanks, Larry.
Well, friends, glad to be with you guys.
Indeed. Friends, knowing Jesus is a lot more than just knowing about him. I was literally born and raised in church learning all about him, but I didn't come to know him personally until much later in life. And I can tell you, there is a huge difference. At Basic Gospel, we want to help you know Jesus in a very personal way. And as our thanks for your support in March, we're going to send you the 5-CD message called The Jesus You Can Know. Click donate at BasicGospel.net to help us get the word out, and be sure to request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. Also want to remind you that we stream live video every day of this program, and you can find the links at the top of our homepage at BasicGospel.net to both Facebook and YouTube. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Larry Alex Taunton for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.